This past Sunday morning, we read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and I want to read it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's no coincidence that Paul says not to be anxious about anything, pray about everything, and then the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. These are interconnected. Prayer demonstrates a trust and reliance on God. And when we pray in faith, we let go of the anxieties that beset us and place our trust in Him. Because of the fellowship that we have with the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ, we gain peace. Peace with Him after overcoming the guilt of sin by the blood of Jesus, and peace within as we realize that nothing can separate us from Him again except our own free will choice to abandon Him. This isn't the kind of peace that the world speaks of, such as world peace. Jesus offers something different altogether. In John 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is a peace that only comes by faith and obedience. It comes through a knowledge of Jesus Christ and His role as the Son in the eternal plan of the Father to redeem the faithful from the wages of sin. When we are following the Good Shepherd, then we have safety that the world also does not understand. In John 10, verses 25 through 30, it says, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and said, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Later in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39, Paul said, "I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I can't tell you with any certainty what will happen tomorrow. This virus is just beginning in the United States, and we don't even know yet if the quarantine efforts will be effective. Who knows what will happen over the next 2 weeks? But I don't have to know these things in order to be free from anxiety, fear, and uncertainty. I have a Heavenly Father that has already revealed how it all ends up. No, not for the coronavirus, but for His creation in the end. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him." Those that are truly part of the body of Christ, those that have yielded themselves over to God in submission, are eagerly waiting for this coming of Christ to collect His own. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" For the faithful, this world does not hold our fate, and the coronavirus certainly does not. No, for the faithful, we are in the hands of the one true and living God, who has made provision for us. And no matter what happens to this mortal body, my eternal soul is in His hands. That is more valuable than anything in this fading world. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 34, it says, "Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Maybe you aren't worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, but that's not really the point. The point is trust in God. The point is that when we have God, then we don't have to be anxious about the things of this world. God takes care of all His creation. That includes us. So why be anxious when your Father has seen to your true needs, your eternal spiritual needs? He has prepared a place that I personally long to see and long to experience. And one day, I will get to see it and I will get to experience it. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. During your time of waiting and quarantine, do not let fear overtake you. Be strong. Be courageous. We are the people of God. It is God who is for us. Continue to feast on the Word of God. Continue to strengthen your spirit. Place your trust in God. If you find yourself in spiritual need during this time, if you need prayers to be offered on your behalf, if you need to talk about your spiritual condition, please contact one of your elders right away. We will be happy to speak with you, and we will be happy to pray for you. God be with us all.